Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, covers basketball, football for Fox, and is the Pelican sideline reporter. But this coming Sunday, she won't get lost going to the stadium. Jen Hale with us. Jen's covering the Saints and the Panthers. So, Jen, it's a short ride this coming Sunday as the Saints and Panthers. Is for you, you don't get to do a lot of Saints games recently, if my memory's right about that.
You are, as usual, correct, Mike. Thanks so much for having me, you and Charlie. Yeah. I get to start and end the season at home. So how lucky am I? I'm ready. I love being at home. It's a treat.
Jen, I look at this game, and a lot of people think it'll be a blowout. I don't think that way. One of the things in sports, and I can't explain why, but certain teams match up pretty well against one another, and they're tight games. And I think about Sean. He was dominant against the Falcons when his teams played against Atlanta. In a similar fashion to Tampa, the one team in the NFC South, it was sort of 50-50 with Sean, was the Panthers. And then the back-to-back years, Dennis Allen has coached this football team with the Saints. In year one, they lost 22-14. And they lost 10-7 to the Panthers. Close games. Then this past season, they won 20-17. And the second game was a blowout, 28-6. I think this game will be real tight. I'll be honest with you. Just by looking at that, people say, oh, history don't repeat itself. But it does have a similar ring. And I think these two teams, because of their strengths and their weaknesses, they're playing off one another really well. I think this is a close football game.
I think this is one the Saints need to watch out for. You certainly cannot drop this one, and it's more than possible. I know the Panthers only had two wins last season. They're certainly not a strong playoff contender. I'm not saying that. I am saying, number one, they've gotten much better this season. They've bolstered that receiving core. They've stabilized that offensive line, added weapons around Bryce Young to help him be better. And Dave Canales, their new head coach, he's the one who works such wonders with Baker Mayfield in Tampa. He's now their head coach. So it's hard to know what to expect. Right now the Saints are looking at some Panthers tape from last year, but hey, they're also looking at a whole lot of Tampa Bay Bucks tape to try to figure out what's going to go on here. So the Panthers, they're going to be a team that wins some they are not supposed to. If you sleep, if you get lazy on them, they're going to punish you for it, even though they're not going to be this big postseason threat. And to me, it is absolutely critical the Saints get off to a good start because they have a gauntlet of fierce foes coming up after week one. So you've got to get off on the right foot.
Amen to that. When I look at it, it's the tale of two offensive lines and how, because I know one thing, the Panthers' defensive front is good. That front seven is really good. Now, they don't have next man up, Brian Burns, because there's no next man on that squad that's in his kind of zip code as a player. But they were, last year, they kept them in games. Their offense, though, was so bad they couldn't score. So they've revamped that, as you pointed out, and bringing in Damian Lewis, former LSU player, was with Seattle. And then Robert Hunt, Charlie likes this. He was a raging Cajun guy. I saw him.
He got paid, Jen.
Yeah, he got what? Man, he won almost a Powerball on that deal. So you bring in that, and you switch over to tackle the center. So they're doing it in a similar manner to which Sean Payton and the Saints did. You have a little shorter quarterback than normal. You try to build up that interior that he doesn't feel that inside pressure that you can – Drew Brees was the best tippy-toe thrower that I've ever seen. Because a lot of it, when you watch him throw, he's up on his tippy-toes making those throws, but he was protected from the inside. They couldn't protect inside or outside last year. The craziest stat for the Panthers is they didn't have a lead in the fourth quarter 1 second. They won in two walk-offs. Jen, that's unbelievable in this league. I don't remember in my lifetime having a team that didn't have a lead at least for a second or two in the fourth quarter of a game.
It's very demoralizing. You know, it's like when a run game pounds you and beats you over and over and over. And it certainly got to Bryce Young mentally and emotionally. So, look, this is his third system in 3 years because he had his college system, the Panthers last year, now the Panthers this year. But upstairs, he is a great quarterback. his Achilles heel is his height. And as you said, seeing over that offensive line, seeing opposing defenses. And if his line can buy him some time, they also brought in a guy, Deontay Johnson, a veteran wide receiver. Been talking to several folks over there, including Deontay this week. Their chemistry, that's a security blanket for Bryce. He really is relying on Deontay's know-how. It makes him feel much more confident and comfortable out there to have a guy like that on his side. And they didn't have that last season. And to your point, Mike, about their defense, look, they're so comfortable with their defense. They let Kalavon Chasson go earlier this week. Cut him. Just let him go. They want somebody more dynamic in that position. And it's like, where are you going to get somebody more dynamic at this point in the season? But they feel good enough about the process and about their chances that they didn't even trade him.
Yeah, and right now for Kalavon, man, when he came out, I thought he had a chance to be a really good pass rusher. It just has not clicked for him. He's sort of a one-trick pony. He's got one move. It's a speed move, and everybody knows it, and he doesn't have a counter to a counter. When you look at it, too, I don't know how much he's going to play. He's been fighting a hamstring issue, but one guy you're going to love to interview, and that's Xavier Leggett. Because if I didn't know any better, I'd sway from the Bayou. Once he starts talking, he don't shut up. I mean, he's got a long row with an answer, and he's so infectious from a attitude standpoint. He's always upbeat, and he gives him a big physical receiver that can really break it down feel for him. Okay, last year you had Adam Thielen, you got him again, but you know what Adam can do. He's not going to kind of test your safeties deep downfield. Leggett, if he's healthy, that is an area he can do.
And he did not have the best preseason, so he's ready to show what he can do as well. He wants to prove himself. He's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. With him, I think part of the key is not rushing him too much. Look, you're not going to the Super Bowl now. If there was one team I had to pick that, hey, because week one, everybody's going to the Super Bowl, right? It would be the Panthers. I think they're going to be picking very close to the top again next season, and then I think they're going to take that next step, especially if Dave Tepper massages his approach to head coaches.
Just a little, huh, Jen?
Let Dave Canales have a little time to make this system work. So I hope what they do with Leggett is give him the room and the space to get his feet underneath him. You're not going to be world beaters this season. Get it right. Don't get injured. Stay healthy. Learn the fundamentals the right way. And then next season, I think we'll be having a very different conversation when it's Saints-Panthers.
So, Jen, I saw that Miles Sanders was now a full participant in practice today for the Panthers running back room, but it feels like Chuba Hubbard's the guy. Jonathan Brooks is eventually going to be the second-round pick, but he's on the PUP list. He's recovering from that major knee surgery. So it's going to take him a while to play. We're not worried about Jonathan Brooks for this matchup, but Chuba Hubbard was a guy that I was looking at. Last year, if you're looking at his stats, he went just over 900 yards, but a majority of that, basically half of it, came in the final six games of the season. He saw a ton of production late for the Panthers last year. What can you kind of expect from Chuba Hubbard in this game? It feels like he's going to be their lead back.
He's definitely going to be their lead back, at least for now. But there is a bit of a healthy competition from what I'm hearing between those two. You know, Miles Sanders, in theory, he was supposed to be the lead back, and then he ran into some issues. And he has an attitude adjustment. He has a different perspective this season. He wants to get that lead back spot. He's back. He's spoken about it publicly. So he knows Chuba Hubbard is the first option. And he doesn't like it in a healthy way. You know, he wants to regain what he considers was his, and he blames himself for losing it. So, and apparently there's no strife or stress between those two. So when you have that type of dynamic where you have two guys truly pushing each other, and look, they're both talented. They can both be really good. That bodes very well for the Panthers and very well for Bryce Young, because besides a great offensive line, what is the better best friend of a young quarterback than having a back or two backs that are trustworthy and you know you can hand it off to you when you get into trouble? And look, if there was an area where the Saints defense struggled a bit last year, it was run defense, right? So they're going to have to watch those two. It could be a pretty potent 1-2 punch.
Jen, I'm anxious to watch Chase Young because if he's healthy, I saw what he did at Ohio State and I saw what he did his rookie season. He's a man out there on that field. And to get him, and, you know, he had the neck surgery, came back much quicker than I think any of us thought he would. And if that was an MVP of the training camp, it was either him or Alante Taylor. But I think Chase could really have a big season here. And somebody's going to pay him a lot of money if it does. But he brings a dynamic to a defense that really struggled last year, other than Carl Granderson, in being able to get a pass rush.
Yes. Yes, you got to get a pass. You got to get pressure. You want sacks, but you at least have to get pressure. Chase Young's going to change that equation, and I like with him changing that equation how it's freeing up them to be a little more creative with Cam Jordan. Cam and I are on this host committee deal for the Super Bowl, and we were talking at the press conference on Tuesday, and we realized, holy moly, for both of us, this is year 14 in the NFL. It's crazy. So, you know, for Cam, he's on the other side, obviously. So I think using him inside some, being able to switch up how and where you deploy him, I think that maximizes all his incredible gifts and strengths. So I really like that aspect of the Chase Young addition as well, the creativity it allows DA to have.
I think creativity in Taysom Hill matches. I think for most Saints fans, I think we know that this team is going to struggle up front along the offensive line at right tackle, left guard. But Taysom Hill and the creativity and what Kubiak can do with him that we haven't seen before. Drew Brees came with us and did an interview with Bob and I when we had the pickleball tournament. He said, you know what, 12 times a game, I want him at quarterback. I want to see the defense react. Because if you send it in and you everything's quick tempo, you don't have time to adjust. And where is he going to end up? At running back? At fullback? In the slot? Is he going to play receiver? Is he going to play quarterback? I think everybody's wondering in game one what you see of Taysom Hill and the differences. Now, I don't want to use him as no lead fullback because you can get hurt that way. They got somebody else that can do that lead blocking for you. But I'm intrigued with the guy that can do so many things, and that's Taysom Hill.
Such a Swiss Army knife, and you saw him used creatively with Sean, and then I kind of felt like Pete Carmichael didn't, for some reason, you thought that would have been a seamless transition, but I felt like he didn't know how or where to really use Taysom last season. He wasn't on the field enough. Clint Kubiak is loving life having a guy like Taysom out there. He is licking his chops. And look, Mike, when you talked about you don't know where he's going to be, what position, what he's going to do, especially for a young team like the Panthers, new systems, you know, still gelling, still figuring themselves out, that can wreak havoc. That's not a seasoned defense by any stretch. So when you have to account for a player that is so incredibly versatile, I mean, I actually heard somebody on SiriusXM radio this week having a discussion about what would you consider Taysom Hill a Hall of Famer? I don't think I'd go that far, but certainly he is so unique, and I hope Saints fans understand what a great gift they have in him. Most teams don't have that, and it's going to confuse a lot of defenses if he's used correctly, and I do think Clint Kubiak has the creativity to do that.
Jen, in almost 40 years, I can't compare him to anybody. What he can do at playing quarterback, halfback, fullback, tight end, wide receiver, special teams. There's nobody in my lifetime watching this that I've seen that you could compare him to. Now, everybody, you know, you get that phone call. Hey, Mike, have you seen somebody that can play quarterback and kind of do some of the things that Taysom Hill? My answer is no, I haven't. That's how unique he is as a player.
One of one.
One of one, you're right. Jen, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it. And you do so much great work for the community. I know you're part of the Sugar Bowl host committee and also too, and bringing so much kind of joy and happiness to a lot of different people, and especially kids in our area. And so if people want to contribute to Sideline Pass, which is your charity, kind of tell them how they can do that.
You were the very best, Mike. Thank you, thank you. So Sideline Pass, we just finished our back-to-school drive. We got our toy drive coming up. Miss Gail's partnering with us. She's going to let us use the indoor practice facility. So sidelinepass.org. Watch out for that date. Come bring toys for kids in shelters and group foster homes and take some great pictures on the field. Talk about a one-of-one chance. Where else are you going to get to do that?
Jen, thanks so much. Don't get lost in the dome, though.
I'll try not to.
All right. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate
it. Thanks,
Jen. Thanks, guys.
All righty. Jen Hale from Fox Sports, also Pelican sideline reporter.